Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Part of the challenge with reading the letters of Paul or any of the letters in the New Testament is that you really kind of need to do some reading between the lines. That's because we have only half of a conversation, really. We have Paul's half of a conversation to a church, and we don't have their half of the conversation back to Paul. But in this case, with some study in history and knowledge of the culture of the time, scholars have been able to put together what Paul is addressing in this letter. See, when the early church gathered for worship, they didn't gather in a formal building. They didn't have formal buildings like this that they called the church. They met in houses of members. That was where they met for church. And usually they met in one of the wealthier members' houses for church because they were the ones that had bigger places for people to come and to worship together. This is what's happening in the church in Corinth. And when churches met, it looks like at least in Corinth, as part of their worship service, they also had what they called the agape, which is simply the Greek word for love. It was what they called the agape meal or the love feast. Essentially, they got together, and as part of worship, they had a meal for all the people within the church. And as that meal, culmination, the climax of that meal, they then had the Lord's Supper together. Now, there are some places where this still is the norm for worship. When I was in California and I was in my seminary for one of my worship classes, we were asked to go and experience a worship service in a church that was different than what we grew up in. I went to a church that was a messianic Jewish church, so basically a bunch of Jewish believers that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But they kept a lot of the worship of a Jewish synagogue. They paraded a big scroll of the Torah around. But after the service was over, they all went to go eat together, and that's where they celebrated Holy Communion, is in their meal. Like having a potluck after church, that's where they had Holy Communion. That's what the church in Corinth appears to be doing. But there's a problem. And the problem is that these Corinthians are still holding on to the division of class that is part of the greater world around them. What's happening is the wealthier members who are hosting these meals and hosting this service is they're inviting only the other wealthy members and the higher-ups in the church into their special dining rooms. Imagine it like it's a house with a really nice dining room. That's where the wealthy people are eating together in this house church celebration. And as they eat together, they're the ones that get all the really good food, all the best cuts of meat and the bread that's fresh baked, all that stuff, that's being served in the special dining room. Those who were poorer within the church, well, they were kind of shunted to the side a little bit. They ate in maybe the atrium or maybe outside or in a garden part of the house, and they didn't get the good food. In fact, it looks like here in Corinth, what often happened is they didn't get any food at all because these are probably day laborers. They were out working for the day, and the meal, the wealthy people, were starting the meal before they even got there and eating and drinking all the food, including the elements used for the Lord's Supper before the people, the poorer people of the church, even got to the house or to the meal. And so what we have is the wealthy people abusing the worship service, abusing their privilege, and worst of all, abusing the Lord's Supper all together, getting drunk and eating to excess while others in the church, their own church, went without. It's hard to understand how these wealthier Corinthians in this Corinthian church just couldn't see how abusive they were towards what God has given them. It's like they just couldn't see it until Paul wrote to them and say, hey, shape up. And this letter to the Corinthians, by the way, the Corinthians must have been pretty bad because most of Paul's letter is kind of scathing to them, correcting them on things that they're just getting wrong. But these wealthier people in this church, they're not only abusing the members of their own church, they're abusing the very gift of God given to them. The body and blood of Christ given to them for the forgiveness of their sins. Imagine this. So perverse and wrong is their abuse of the Lord's Supper that they're sinning while practicing this thing that is supposed to forgive their sins. They've got it backwards and all the way wrong. And so Paul tells them to take a step back and to examine themselves, to look at themselves, to assess themselves, to understand who they are and what they're doing, to look and see that they are sinners. And God, in this meal, is trying to give them something, give them and do something for them. We do a disservice to the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, if we don't do the same, if we don't take a moment to step back and examine ourselves, if we don't come and eat at the Lord's table without thinking about who we are and what God is offering us because of who we are. Lutheran reformers like to talk about God's word, God's law, as a mirror. We hold it up before ourselves and it shows exactly who we are. It exposes everything about us. And as we come to the table, we should hold God's word up to us to expose who we are, to let it show us and expose to us how, yeah, I've not been very loving to my neighbor. I haven't cared very well for my fellow believers. I haven't taken care of the poor like I should. We hold it up and let it expose our selfishness, let it expose our pride, let it convict you and show you just how far off the mark, God's mark, you really are. God's word, when we hold it up to ourselves, shows us that we are nothing less than sinners in terrible need of mercy. But thankfully, it also shows us and directs us to where we receive that mercy, where we receive that grace. And so in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives weight to this supper that they celebrate. And he tells them, I have given to you what I received from the Lord himself. Some way or another, Paul got this from Jesus, that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave it to all them to eat, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul communicates to them, this isn't just normal bread that you're eating. This is the body of Christ given for you. And afterwards, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. Matthew would include the words, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. He lays it out for this church that this bread that they're abusing, this wine that they're abusing, this thing that they're abusing is the very body and blood of Jesus given for you, delivered to you in bread and wine. Our Lord Jesus has set these gifts before you. This is his table. It's like a potluck in which he provides all the food and you don't have to bring anything to it, except that you recognize who you are, a sinner in need of mercy, that you recognize what it is, and then by faith, eat and drink. This is God's gift to you, an objective reminder of his forgiveness to you, and we are now invited to come to it, admitting the worst in ourselves so as to receive the best from God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gifts you give us, your body, your blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, given for us, shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. O Lord, we come to you as sinful people. We come to you sorrowful for who we are, but thankful for who you are. Give now to us the forgiveness of sins. We pray this in your almighty name. Amen.